Welcome to the Steelers by Like podcast. My name is James Grubb. Once again, by my co-host, Cody. Cody, how are you this fine Saturday morning?
James, I'm saying cheers to another week of football, my friend. I'm very excited for football on Sunday. Again, 1 o'clock game. Pumped for that. I'm good. I'm great. I'm fantastic. James, how are you? I start work next week. I'm excited about that. I feel like I've been waiting forever to start work down here in Texas, but I start next Tuesday or this coming Tuesday. So I'm excited for that. How are you, James?
I'm doing well. I'm excited for the weekend. Just trying to get things going on around here and some Penn State football later on this afternoon. Some Steeler football on Sunday.
4:30 kickoff today?
Or 3:30 kickoff.
3:30.
Well, that'll be a 2:30 for you.
2:30 kickoff for me. Got it. Penn State football. Maybe you have to watch that. We'll see.
Yeah, it's against Auburn. It's a tough team this time.
That is a good team this time. Last week, not so much.
No. not at all.
But we're here to talk Steelers football as always. Again, this is the pregame show for you guys, kind of going over the injuries for both teams, the roster, what we think we need to do, the three keys to success for Pittsburgh to come out with a W in their home opener this year, because remember the last 8 or 9 years, Pittsburgh hasn't had a week one home opener, so their home opener is week two. But before we get into all that stuff, some news from last week. Minkah Fitzpatrick got named AFC Defensive Player of the Year, as he more than deserved.
Week.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little early for a defensive player of the year.
Sorry. Defensive player of the week.
He might get some votes after that, though, for a defensive player
That's
of the
true.
Year. You never know.
That's true. So Minkah did play phenomenally well again. He had the blocked PAT. He had the pick six to start the game off. And 14 tackles.
14 total tackles. A couple passes broken up also. Just yep. Incredible, incredible game from Minkah.
Yeah, two non-actual pass interference calls unnecessary roughness calls.
Yeah, roughness, yeah. Kept on cleaning them up, man.
Yeah, and then my favorite was when he broke the one in the back of the end zone. He's like, you are not going to call that one? Whatever he said. I did get to do this, and I'll link this on our page if I can find it again. But I did get the chance to watch Minkah sat down with Brian Dawkins this past week and watched some film. I don't know if you got the chance to watch that. That was actually really cool.
I did not.
That was really cool.
That was probably awesome.
So I'll link that on our page whenever we're done here, recording this episode and getting this out. So take a look at that. It's actually really enjoyable to watch that. And Brian Dawkins was an animal, man.
He was, dude. Oh. What a hell of a hitter.
Yeah. I remember his hit on Reggie. No, it wasn't him. I don't remember who it was, but the hit on Reggie Bush was wild. But it was against the Eagles. Anyways, moving on to other signings, James. We signed some new players this week.
Yeah, some shaking going on that practice squad. So they removed a couple guys from the practice squad, brought in some new guys. First name, outside linebacker Ryan Anderson, a highly touted player out of Alabama. I think he's only been in the league a couple of years. And then tight end Rodney Williams. And in order to make room for these two, they released tight end Justin Rigg, who was just signed right before week one. And then wide receiver Jamari Roberson. Same thing. He was a late add to that practice squad. Also, Ryan Anderson was available just because he actually got released by his team last year because he got a 6-game suspension. They didn't want to deal with that, so they cut him. Well, he didn't end up on a roster all year last year because of it, which technically means he served his 6-game suspension. So he is able to play now, but was a high pedigree guy, Cody. You looked like you might have been looking something up for me on that.
Yeah, so Ryan Anderson was drafted. I had it on my phone now. I put my phone away, of course, but I know exactly where it was. Ryan Anderson, talking about him specifically, was drafted, if I remember correctly, by the – oh, where did it go? They don't have this year's stats. Why? That's not the right link. Anyways, excuse me. Second round of 2017. Yeah. Second round draft pick. So he was high pedigree guy. He was up there.
Yes.
This is his fifth year in the league. He went to Alabama. Alabama's always had good players. And then specifically, he's 6'2", 253. That's a good size for him. But I wanted to talk about real quick. His time when he was at Washington, if I can find those stats again, here we go. So in his time at Washington, he didn't play, it looks like, either of the first two games. which is weird. Or no, excuse me. He played in the first two seasons, but didn't start anything and still had six quarterback rushes, two tackles for losses, and it looks to be like somewhere in the 30 total tackles with two sacks in his second year. That's from not starting, and I'm sure that Washington didn't do the same kind of rotation that Pittsburgh does. Ryan Anderson could come in very quickly, and actually, if he gets bumped to the if he goes on to the active roster, could actually perform very well, I think, if he's given the opportunity to. He's got good stats. In the one year he started four games, he still had four sacks. That's a sack a game.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah, so that's excellent. You know, I think, Pittsburgh loves high pedigree guys.
Always.
They love being a team that gives somebody a second chance. And so that's what we've got with Ryan Anderson. We'll see. If they don't like what they see in practice, you'll know because they'll cut him like next week.
Yep.
but I think he'll probably have a chance to stick around, especially with TJ Watt going to be out for a little while, which is the next news that we're going to cover here. TJ Watt was officially placed on the injured reserve this week, which does mean he will miss a minimum of four games. That's required anytime a player is put on the injured reserve. That doesn't mean his injury is so bad that he can't possibly play within the next four games. It's a smart move on their part because, honestly, even if he feels like he can play within 4 weeks, there's no way you should let him play.
Yeah.
So this means that he is not legally allowed to play for the next 4 weeks, which is great. And then we'll see what goes on from there. We'll see whether or not they pull him back off. But on a corresponding move from that, the Steelers did steal an outside linebacker from the Tennessee Titans practice squad by the name of David Anini. David had three sacks in this preseason. That was in less than 120 snaps. So you figure probably half of those were going against the run. So what, 60 opportunities, and he got three sacks, which is pretty good.
Not bad at all.
They really liked him from what I was reading and hearing, and most thought that he was going to make the 53-man roster. But what happened is Pittsburgh cut Derek Tuzka, which we were planning on putting him on the practice squad ourselves. Tennessee snagged him. In doing so, that left one less spot for an outside linebacker, which they pushed David and Nini to their practice squad, which left him available for us to steal him. So finally, we get one from them. They've been taking them from us. We get one from them.
This is literally just the next chapter in the saga between us and the Tennessee Titans. And we were talking about this before the show, that the scheme fit has to be so similar to the same one that it is in Pittsburgh, because Tennessee always takes their outside linebackers, always. Bud Dupree was a free agent, mm-hmm. signed with the Titans. They took Derek Tuzka. They took Ola Adeniyi. I think that was there a fourth? I thought there might have been a fourth at one point. Did they take Jameer Jones at one point? Or was that the Giants?
No, I think he went to the Giants, yeah.
Yeah.
They took Skipper, too.
Yeah, Tuzar Skipper. So, again, yeah. The Giants did. I know what you're saying. Again, this is just the next step in the whole thing with the stupid Titans. So I'm excited about this guy because knowing that they were going to put him on the active roster, he has to have some talent. And being he's a younger version of the guys we have basically now, right? You have to imagine that the scheme fits that well. So,
yeah, I think there's some real potential here with this guy. Just to give you guys a little bit of rundown, I dug up some homework from him from his pro day. He was undrafted. I think we mentioned this. He's an undrafted rookie this year. At his pro day at the University of Houston, he weighed in at 6'3", 251, 34 3/8 inch long arms, which is incredible length for an outside linebacker. That's really good. 4.7 440 yard dash, which is a good 40 yard time. Not super fast, not super slow. You don't need super speed at outside linebacker. It's more about that burst.
Baby.
How fast is your first four or five steps where you can beat the tackle and get to the quarterback? Well, he had a 36.5 inch vertical jump, which for a guy that big is a really, really good jump, which does show the explosiveness. I saw some highlights via Steelers Depot. Alex Cazor did a little breakdown on him. And what it was very obvious is that not only does he have a quick get off, so when the snap happens, his first few steps are very, very quick. He's got a good dip move. So he's able to get that shoulder that's closest to the offensive tackle, nice and low underneath the pad level of the offensive tackle, where it makes it difficult for him to block you. And that helps you win big time. So I'm excited about this kid, especially with the opportunity for Coach Carl Dunbar to get his hands on him and start telling him a little bit more, some fine tuning. We saw the development of TJ Watt over the years. We're now seeing the development of Alex Highsmith. Coach Dunbar is obviously very good at what he's doing. So
yep.
A nice lump of clay. We've been looking for an outside linebacker that can be developed, a late round guy. We were hoping last year with Quincy Roche we would get that, but didn't get the opportunity as he got poached from us. He was poached by the Giants too, wasn't he?
Yep.
So it's all Giants and Titans stealing our guys here. But anyway, I think there's definitely some potential there, and he'll probably play on Sunday because you don't want to dress just three outside linebackers.
Yeah, no. You have one go down, you're in a situation immediately.
Yeah, we are.
So, yeah, again, super excited for these new guys, new additions. This happens almost every year. You know, the injuries happen. You want to talk bench?
25 reps on the bench. I forgot to say it. That's really fair. Good for a guy with that long arms.
That is phenomenal. I'm just excited to see what these...
Leal only did like 17, so.
Yeah. We're not going to go there. Anyways, nope. we are gonna transition over to the injury report. So we're gonna go over Pittsburgh's injuries and the New England Patriots injuries. Pittsburgh specifically, right off the bat, none of these guys are expected to miss. They were just guys that were limited in practice or full participation, and they were all full participation by Friday. That being yesterday. And again, with this being said, there is one player on this list that James and I hope doesn't play, at least not as much as he probably will. You have Cameron Hayward, who was probably just resting because of age. Sometimes they get that. The vets get that a lot.
Yeah. He's got that contusion to the birth certificate that they keep talking about.
Yep. birth certificate contusion. It's the BCC.
That's one of my favorite Tomlinisms right there.
Mason Cole also was dealing with an ankle injury. Robert Spillane, an eye injury. Levi Wallace, ankle injury. And then Najee Harris with the foot injury. Najee being the one player that James and I believe that should not play as much. With the injury he has, it's very easy to aggravate it again, especially when you have an offensive line in front of him that can't give him really any space to work. Unfortunately, I think you got to fix that a little bit before you just throw an injured Najee Harris or not 100% Najee Harris back into the game.
That's my biggest concern with that is that, you know, if it is, and they're trying to say it's not the same Liz Frank injury, blah, blah, blah. Chances are good that it actually is because they never disclosed what it was in the preseason. They just said that somebody stepped on his foot when it was actually a Liz Frank, which is typically not caused by someone stepping on your foot. But we can't afford for Najee to re-injure that and then miss a significant amount of time. So, I would be okay with him not playing at all just so that it gets more time to heal. I think Pittsburgh will play him a little bit, but look for a heavy dosage of Jaylen Warren in this game. He's going to get a chance to prove himself. If he runs as hard as he did in the preseason, he's going to turn some heads, and I look forward to seeing that.
Yeah, and for those that don't know what a Liz Frank injury is, I'm trying to think of the non-sports medicine way to describe it, because I know how to describe it in the sense of sports medicine, and it's
isn't it typically broken bones in that area of your foot?
It's a broken or dislocation. More often than not dislocation, which you could technically qualify as a break. Technically, it's not really a break. It's not by the legal term, it's not a break at all. But it's like where the toes meet the foot, like where that almost where like on a hand where this area is. There's like a dislocation here that again, unless it's a Liz Frank injury normally isn't one you put back in place. It's normally like, well, it'll kind of form itself back out and fix itself almost. A Liz Frank injury, it can cause a lot of pain when you're running and cutting, which is exactly what a running back wide receiver does. He's obviously a big receiving back. But again, this isn't an injury that he's like, his foot hurts a little bit, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, this can be super painful and discomforting.
Yeah.
And especially while you're getting tackled and you look at the injury that happened last week, the way that he got tackled with his leg wrapped up underneath someone else, that could have been a knee injury. That could have been the foot injury. Like that. There's so many different things that could have happened with that specifically, the way he was tackled. that I think the foot injury at this point is just covering up. That whole leg probably hurts at this point, quite frankly. I would be shocked otherwise. Even if it's just a little loose, like coming from someone who I've dislocated my knee, you tore your ACL, right?
ACL and meniscus.
When you have a knee injury, it's not always like when it heals, it's not always like, oh yeah, I'm better. Like, no, I could go out right now and play sports and dislocate my kneecap 75% easier than half the population because I've already had that injury. So again, this is something that they have to be careful with moving forward to not get him re-injured, especially, you know, Najee was a number one draft pick last year. You can't afford to lose him, especially when there's not quality behind him right now. Jaylen Warren is great, but I think he's great in limited touches, and we haven't even seen Benny Snell yet. So I don't know. Got to be careful.
And we might not either.
I'd be okay with that.
I think I like Benny a little more than you do. But
you do. You do, for sure.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I came away from this first game, just to be sidetracked for a brief moment here, the job that Jaylen Warren did blocking in week one was just absolutely tremendous.
Yep.
There was a blitz pickup that he had where somebody came right up the A gap, right in the middle there between the center and the guard, and he absolutely crushed the guy and de-cleated him. There were multiple times that he was the lead blocker for Chase Claypool.
On the jet sweep.
And what I came away from that game thinking is that when Derek Watts' contract is up after this season, man, this kid might make a tremendous fullback. He is a naturally gifted blocker and extremely physical.
I will say that is just sad because they haven't even given Derek Watt the chance.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I'll say. Derek Watt has a higher price tag. I get that. But
yeah, but he has that price tag because he's so excellent on special teams, not because he's an amazing fullback.
But they
because
don't play
on
him
special
at fullback.
Teams, he's incredible. What's that?
I thought they barely play him at fullback. They barely play him at all.
Yeah, I think he played more in week one than he played all year last year combined.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I agree. Injuries for the Patriots real quick before we get too sidetracked. Jawan Bentley, an outside linebacker, has a toe injury. Did not participate on Wednesday, limited participation on Thursday, and then fully participated on Friday. More than likely playing. Joshua Bledsoe, a safety with a groin injury, limited practice all week. No saying that.
Maybe not.
I don't think that's their what?
I'm just saying that's a maybe not play on a groin. If you're limited, you're probably not going to go, would be my guess.
Yep. Adrian Phillips, a defensive back with a rib injury, limited practice all week. That could be a not go, potentially. Sean Wade, a cornerback with an ankle injury, limited practice all week. That could be a non-go. You can't keep up with receivers if they're cutting and you can't cut on an ankle. Mm-hmm. Mac Jones had a back and illness. Full participation on Wednesday, did not participate on Thursday. I'm assuming that was like when the illness kind of hit, and then full participation on Friday. So again, this was just saying, hey, he got sick on Thursday. He's going to be playing. Pierre Strong with a shoulder injury, limited participation all week. Maybe a not go. New England has always not cared much about their running backs. They don't care who's in there. They typically just handle it. So I would be impressed if Pierre Strong played. And then Trent Brown with an ankle injury, the starting left tackle, limited participation on Thursday and Friday. That's what we want. No guarantees. No guarantees whether or not he's going to play or not. With a starter, offensive lineman could play, not. Yeah. And then Raekwon McMillan, middle linebacker with a thumb injury, limited participation on Friday. My guess is he injured that late Thursday, early Friday practice. He's listed as questionable right now. So that's the injuries for them. Moving over to the roster. You want to talk roster real quick?
Real quick on the injuries, significance there, I would say, are going to be Trent Brown, obviously, starting left tackle on huge. One good ankle, one not so good ankle. That's huge, especially Alex Highsmith is the matchup there. He got 3 sacks week one. So tremendous for the opportunity for Alex Highsmith there. Mac Jones got hurt bad enough in week one that he had x-rays on his back because they were concerned whether or not he actually had any broken bones back there. So he was hurting really bad and then got sick on Thursday. They called it a non-COVID illness, so he must have tested negative on his COVID tests. But I think Mac Jones is going into this far less than 100%, which is also really good because he's not a scrambler already. He saw what Pittsburgh did as far as sacking the quarterback 7 times in week one. He's going to be looking to get rid of that ball, and it might make him hurry some throws. It might make him throw some balls that he wouldn't throw otherwise.
Yep.
So I think don't let your safeties line up deep in this game. Keep them close to the line of scrimmage because it's going to be a lot of quick stuff.
Yep. I agree completely. All right, let's go over this.
Patriot depth chart.
Talking offensive line right off the bat real quick. We'll start there and then work our way kind of back. Trent Brown, obviously, that starting left tackle. Cole Strange, the left guard. David Andrews, a phenomenal center. Mike Owen Onwenu. He was drafted 2 years ago now.
Sounds right, yeah.
2 years ago now. He's a stud. Isaiah Wynn at the right tackle position. All those guys are very talented. Underrated offensive line. I think they have a decent offensive line.
The big wild card here is going to be Cole Strange at left guard. So keep an eye open for that. He was drafted in the first round by the Patriots. And literally other GMs laughed when it happened. He's out of Tennessee, Chattanooga, and is kind of an undersized guy. This could be somebody that could really get dominated by Cam Hayward in those one-on-one matchups. So they're not going to be able to slide help over to Trent Brown because they're going to have to really keep their focus on Cam Hayward with the center, David Andrews, who is very good.
Yep. Quarterback being Mac Jones, we all know about Mac. He was one of the first drafted quarterbacks from Bama. He was from Bama.
The Bama boy.
Running back, they only have two running backs listed on their depth chart, Pierre Strong being the second guy, so that's concerning a little bit. But Damian Harris is their starter. Oh, excuse me, I lied. They also have Stevenson, so they just have it listed
They got a co-starter listing kind of thing with Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson.
Yep, and then so you're looking at the wide receiver positions after that. Jacoby Myers, Nelson Aguilar, the starters, with Kendrick Bourne, Devontae Parker backing them up. All four of those guys are almost no names, minus Nelson Aguilar a little bit. Nelson Aguilar had some good play time with the Eagles before having a drop off, going to the Raiders, and now being at the Patriots. All these guys
can. Devontae Parker, he put up some numbers when he was with the Dolphins.
Yes, so all these guys can go off if it happens that way. Like, these guys are capable of doing it. And then
this is a lineup I look at though, real quick,
that
I don't fear for our corners. I think this is a good matchup for our corners. I think they can handle these wide receivers.
Yep. Given that Bill Belichick doesn't come up with some crazy scheme that's half legal, half not illegal or not legal, we'll see what happens. And then the tight end position, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, both those guys are actually fairly good tight ends. Expect them to get involved and heavily if we can't match up well with them.
Well-paid free agents. I think they both got like $10 million a year kind of contracts.
So, yep.
Look for a lot of focus to be there. Pittsburgh needs to pay a lot of attention to that. Luckily, we have two highly athletic middle linebackers and a strong safety in Terrell Edmonds, who typically matches up well against tight ends.
Absolutely. Let's talk about this defense, James.
Yes, defensive line, starting with Dietrich Wise Jr., Davin Godshaw, first-round pick out of Alabama, Christian Barmore, and then Lawrence Guy at the other starting end position. So,
Lawrence Guy is the big name for me to watch out for.
Yeah, yeah. And Barmore being a first-round pick, I think, from not last year but the year previous, that's somebody, you know, this is a big group. This is not small guys, so they're going to be difficult to move. In the way that New England plays their defense, these linebackers are all basically like off-ball guys. Matthew Judon, a pass rusher formerly of the Ravens, had some success there. But Juwan Bentley and Mack Wilson, being the other two starting linebackers, are both off-ball guys, you know, middle linebacker types. So they're really good at containing outside runs. That's kind of the specialty of this defense. So they're really going to need to sack up and move guys on the inside. If they don't get some double teams and move some of these interior defensive linemen, they're not going to have much room to run again.
Yeah, you talked about that defensive line real quick. To go through that, 6'5", 275, 6'3", 311, 6'5", 310, and 6'4", 315. They're big guys.
Yeah, they're big.
They're big guys.
Was Wise the 275 guy?
I believe so. Wise was the first guy I said, and was the 275, 6'5", 275. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, they're no Vince Wilfork, but this defensive line has been known for having bigger guys. All those guys are pretty stout, I would say. The linebacker crew here is the thing with New England, and I feel like this always happens, minus back in like the early 2000s when they had Mike Vrabel and a couple other guys like Vince Wilfork on the defensive front. the defense of the Patriots over the past few years, even dating back to when Brady was still there, has almost gone unnoticed because of how much the offense got, you know, talked about with Brady and Wes Welker and Julian Edelman, and then the running game whenever they had two good running backs back there. The defense is almost filled with no-name guys that perform well.
Yeah.
Not over the top. They're not phenomenal, but they perform well.
They know their responsibility, and they're good at their responsibility. They're typically a bunch of guys that no one gets any votes to the Pro Bowl or anything, but everyone is above average as far as what they're doing. So that's just been the Bill Belichick thing for a lot of times, you know. Every now and then he has a guy like a Richard Seymour or a Willie McGinnis, or even with Devin McCourty, he's probably above the line kind of guy, right?
Yep.
Their secondary right now, starters are going to be Jonathan Jones and Jalen Mills. Safeties, Kyle Duggar and Devin McCourty. Kyle Duggar's big dude.
Big dude.
That guy can hit you. Yeah. So this is not an over-the-top secondary. I think we should be able to get some separation with our wide receivers. I also think that we ought to be able to get some separation with our tight ends. There's a real opportunity for our passing game to step up and create some momentum down the field this week, because I do believe we've got more athletic guys than they do on the second and third level here.
Yeah, and looking at Kyle Duggar, Kyle Duggar was known to be a big hitter in college. I'm just trying to see if I can find any stats of that, because he is a he's only been in the league for what, 2 years now, maybe?
Sounds right, yeah.
And hasn't
wasn't he like 224 coming out of college? He was big for a safety.
He was big for sure. I'm just trying to see if I can see these college stats, and I'm not seeing him anywhere.
While you're looking that up, I'll talk over the special teams guys. Their kicker, Nick Folk, punter Jake Bailey, and your long snapper, Joe Cardona. Because as we always say, long snappers matter, baby. Made a big difference in that Bengals game.
Yes, they do. I'm not seeing anything on here, unfortunately. Everything's popping up NFL career stats, but I thought he had a fairly phenomenal, like, I thought he, not, I shouldn't say phenomenal. I thought he forced a good amount of fumbles in college.
He might have. His pre-draft process was really impressive. He was one of those guys that not a lot of people knew a ton about going into the draft. And then through film study and workouts, people were like, oh, my God, look out for this kid. Really impressed, and has done nothing really other than impress in pro football as well.
Yeah, 4 interceptions and 2 fumble recoveries as a freshman in 2015. He was redshirted in 2014. He was a medical redshirt in 2016 and then played in 2017. 87 total tackles, 57 solo, 30 assisted, returned 20. He's a punt returner as well. He wasn't on their list for punt return, right?
He's listed as a backup return, okay. Man, on the kickoff. So he might be the up back in the kick return game.
Yeah. Well, he returned. Hey, he broke the program record at his school of Lenora Rhine, for 534 punt return yards, finished second in the nation with 2 touchdowns his junior year. 76 tackles, 3 interceptions. He also forced 2 fumbles and recovered 3 his junior year. And then senior year, it appears that he had, not sure. No stats listed the same way on that one. So he's a playmaker. He's a playmaker. Yes. He's a stud. He's not, again, one of these guys that you got to watch out for. He can sneak up on you, which again is that New England Patriots team, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. All right, transitioning to 3 keys to success. Who went first last week? It was me last week. I went first. You first this time.
Yeah. Okay, so here's my 3 keys. Number 1, convert on 3rd down. No more of these 3 and outs on the offense. We've got to sustain some drives and finish with some points. I don't think you're going to need a ton of points to beat the Patriots. They only scored 7 in week 1, but you can't punt the ball 8 times like we did in week 1 and expect to win this game. Number 2, win on special teams. Gunnar Olszewski should really have something to prove, because typically New England values special teams greatly. They've got a cover guy, one of the best in the NFL, right? So we need to see some nice returns out of Gunnar. Let's force some kickoffs and punts, give him the opportunity to have some return room. I think he can break one against New England here. And then my final takeaway, stop the run. I think if we make New England one-dimensional and make Mac Jones pass the ball a lot, I like our ability to get after the quarterback, even without TJ Watt. You know, Alex Highsmith had 3 sacks last week in week one. Obviously, we know that Cam Hayward can get after the quarterback. He's got an opportunity to catch up to TJ on that all-time list right now. Is TJ going to be missing a few weeks? So he might be licking his chops a little bit with another rookie opposite him. And then I think Larry Ogunjobi going to have a real opportunity, because most teams are going to be focused on the left side of their offensive line and sending all their support over there because of Alex Highsmith and Cameron Hayward being on that side. Should bring a bunch of one-on-one opportunities for Larry Ogunjobi and a chance for him to show what he's got.
Absolutely. All right. My 3 keys to success against the Patriots. Number one is going to be, establish. I don't know why I couldn't remember that word. Establish our run game. Last week, we weren't able to do it. Our leading rusher was a wide receiver. You can't have that consistently in the NFL. You cannot. Number two, we need to push the ball downfield and spread the ball around the field to allow that running game to be established. You need to have Mitch Trubisky and the play calling specifically allow him opportunities to throw the ball down the middle of the field, down the side of the field. Get away from these dinks and dump offs. I saw a thing that I wasn't sure if it was real or not, and I didn't have enough time to look at it, where I thought Matt Canada said, you know, sometimes we like those 2-yard gains and that made me want to throw up. I don't know if that was real or not, but I saw it on Facebook. So I'm really,
if you need one, I like a 2-yard gain.
That's exactly my point. But so that concerned me a little bit. I'll have to double check that again. I just remember that now. And then number three is going to be continue to create turnovers. I don't think we need 6 or 7 like we had last week, but you need to create turnovers and give this offense that is struggling right now opportunity to have short fields. So those are my 3 takeaways. I'm not as scared about this offense as I normally would be. I don't think it's anything to not take seriously, but again, focusing on if our offense can move the ball and score, our defense will do enough to get a win.
I agree. Got to make sure we're making that happen with the turnovers in a short field until we can get this offense going on all 4 cylinders.
Yeah. So again, these episodes will be more likely to be coming out on Fridays moving forward. Unfortunately, this week was just crazy busy for both of us. Again, we can't thank you guys enough for following, liking, subscribing, all the things. Be sure to follow us and share the likes and share the posts on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It is free, you guys. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.